delegation from OBP, as well as PPECB. Now, in terms of our agenda, we'll start with the briefing by OBP. So far, I think we've got how many apologies? We've got one apology, so we'll have it up.
Honorable members of Portfolio Committee, ladies and gentlemen, we greet you this morning with OBP's presentation to the Portfolio Committee. I will kick off by introducing the presentation outline. Our presentation is going to come in this format. I will be introducing the governance report. The company's performance will be introduced by our CEO, Ms. Riela Sema, who I would like to introduce to the portfolio committee today, who is a permanent chief executive officer of Honest Report. We chose the issue of chief executive officer because the managing director part of it causes problems when the person has got to leave the company. Maybe to pause, I will request Ms. Sena to stand up so that she is seen by the members of portfolio committee. This is Mrs. Sena.
I'm not the only one.
Umatoni, when did you come up there? What did you do? Umakoni, you are welcome then to lead that company. And she will also talk to the human resources report. The finance performance will be discussed by Mr. Data, our acting chief finance officer. I put acting purposely so that when we go through the presentation, you will notice why I was saying acting. Mm-hmm. And then the conclusion will be by myself, Mrs. Shabalan. I will request Mr. Mabadata to stand up so that the portfolio committee sees him quickly. Thank you. Next slide. Those are the board members. Chairperson Mr. Shabalala, Advocate Michelle, Chairperson of the Audit Committee, Mr. Siani, Chairperson of the R&D, Ms. Berger, the company secretary. In addition to those board members, there has been appointment of three board members who have joined us by the name of Mr. Manda Sheze, Nonhle Jaka, and Nolwandle Jaka. When we come here again, they will be coming with us. The executive team in front of us is the acting chief executive officer, Mr. Hadebe. Mr. Faliyasem was the CFO. He has since left OPP. It's his last day today. He has resigned. That's the chief finance officer. On our further right, that is the chief scientific officer, Dr. Betty Dumo. He is a scientist that is well renowned, and he is of value to OPP as well. With us here is Mr. Billy Porter. He is present here and will be giving us a presentation on marketing. That is Mr. Peter Peterson. He's a prefect and executive. Now, to talk to the governance report, I will kick off by saying the board retains full and effective control of the company. To this end, the board met 6 times the additional meeting that was scheduled. The board is committed towards good governance, corporate governance. And we do that by action, and also we are trying to spread it across the company. The functioning of the committee, annual board plan considering reporting requirements, quarterly board meetings and additional meetings are held as required. We have had 3 meetings and of committees per annum and additional meetings as required. We have had 2 strategic planning sessions and review sessions per annum. The board committees, we have within the board a remuneration committee. The board approved the charter this year and we held 5 meetings. The membership is myself as chairperson of the remuneration committee, Advocate Michel, Mr. Siani. The latter comes by invitation, which is the CEO, the general manager HR, and the general manager finance. The board remuneration committee's activities include remuneration of directors, executives, employees. It also deals with human resources matters, strategies, and human resource policies. The remuneration committee is continuing. We also are aware that the chairperson of the remuneration committee, the responsibilities are to evaluate the chief executive officer's performance, assist the committee in determining and developing the organization's policy on executive and senior management remuneration. We ensure that the committee has due regard to principles of governance and code of best practice, assist the committee in conducting remuneration marketing surveys, ensure that the committee reviews rating systems and salary increases annually, recommend salary increases for the bargaining level of the board for approval. The latter, we have managed to ensure that we negotiate with the union for a 2-year period so that we don't keep on going back on the bargaining level. And we've also engaged in looking and benchmarking the salary levels of the employees. Because of the wealth that we have identified within OPP, we had to rethink our strategy because from below the levels, we have noticed that OPP has got a wealth of experience from people who are standard 8, and up to people who are graduates. Next. Remuneration committee activities. We have restructured OPP. We established a new structure. We have developed job profiles for new positions. Advertisements and filling of positions has been completed as well.
The issue of abolish okay is that everything must be on record.
I was on the part where I was saying we had operated with an acting CEO who stayed with us, who was present in this portfolio committee the last time we were here, Mr. Babu Hatele, who has since left OPP when we interviewed and found Ms. Vuyelwa Venga as the permanent chief executive officer. We communicated the issue of chief executive officer with the shareholders who actually acceded to our proposal to have a chief executive officer who has a term of office of 3 years. She has got to deliver certain capabilities that she comes with to OPP. The 3 years are renewable, pending on the basis of her performance. Next. That is the structure that we had since a restructuring, and we continue to look closer into the structure. But this structure is also indicating that performance is going to be improved at OPP. While I'm still on that structure, we have to make it easy for the load on the chief operating officer. We have taken off the part of R&D and the scientist wing to the chief scientist officer level, which left over the chief operating officer with production, engineering, which is EMU, and supply chain management. So we do to have a vacant position of the chief operating officer at the moment, who Dr. Jungu is acting as chief operating officer for OPP. Next, please. The audit committee. With me, I do have the chairperson of the audit committee, and I would like to quickly request him to run through his committee as to what it has achieved this far. Over to you, Jay.
Good morning, Honourable Chairman and committee members. The Audit Committee has focused on various aspects of risk management tied up. Our members are Mr. Thiani and Dr. Forbes until her resignation, and the General Manager of Finance, the Chief Financial Officer, together with the Internal Audit and Conti Inc., who have been our external auditors. The Audit Committee's work has focused on risk management, the national key point movements, and external audit, looking at internal controls. And on financial matters, we've looked at our management accounts, our investments, tidying up the financial policies with a particular emphasis on procurement, and looking at the layout and style and completeness and clarity of the annual financial statements and the annual reporting. To continue with the responsibilities, we focus on the annual financial statements that must be prepared in accordance with the requirements of National Treasury and the Auditor General. We look at take a close look at the system of internal control to make sure that that is effective and functioning. Ensure that business and insurance risks are identified and documented. And we provide a direct channel of communication between the board, management, internal and external auditors. And we have an important focus on the organization's code of ethics and to make sure that that is honored and kept up to date, to focus on the operation of good corporate governance within the company.
Thank you. We said I have a committee that is a risk management committee. In introducing the risk management committee, the board saw an opportunity to relook and ensure that we identify a risk within the company. Since OPP has been declared NKP in January 12 this year, we had 3 meetings to deal with the 2005-2006 matters. Our membership was the chairperson, Dr. Russo, who has since resigned, and I had to replace her on the chair. Advocate Michelle is the member. Dr. Makuleni was also a member. Dr. Betty Dungu, General Manager, Operations and Research, was also a member. Mr. Peter Peterson, General Manager, Total Quality Then and Finance Audit Committee. Risk Management Committee activities, we have annual risk assessment, annual risk management plan, risk management, continuous monitoring and evaluation of risk management plan. Within OPP, we do have, as a scientist company, we have a research and development committee. Our activities are to produce an R&D strategy and policy. We are within international standards as well as local partners. We also have international and local partners. We have a joint venture scientific activities with the ARC and OVI. We also monitor and evaluate strategic R&D projects which are in place within OPP. Some are facing its finality. Intellectual property management. We have intellectual property audit, intellectual property policy, intellectual property management system. The Research and Development Committee. Our board approved a committee charter. We had three meetings to deal with 2006-07 matters. The membership is Mr. Siani, who is the chairperson of the committee. Myself, M.D. Shabalala, Dr. Makuleni, Dr. Dungu, and the National Sales Manager and Business Development Manager by invitation. Within OPP, we are aware of the need for a safety committee. We report quarterly to the board. They have had 7 meetings to deal with 2006-07 matters. Membership is Ms. Becker, the company secretary, Peter Peterson, Total Quality, Mr. Gwensa, who has since left OPP, who was the Labor Relations Manager, and Mr. Shand, who is our Manager Engineering and Utilities. We also, within the Safety Committee, deal with legal compliance, we deal with policy and strategy. At this stage, I'm going to hand over to Ms. Peng, the leader of the company. Over to you, Glenn.
Thank you, Chair. To the Honorable Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, I also greet you this morning. My presentation is going to take the following format. It's going to start with the company performance, of which the financial aspect of it will be presented by our acting CFO. And then I will look at operations, research and development, social quality management, and human resources. It is our belief that OPP is a respected leader in its niche market, which is the development, production, and sale of animal vaccines and related biological products. In terms of our marketing objectives, we are busy with assisting in alleviating transboundary diseases in South Africa through maintaining vigilance to be able to respond to needs of our clients. To empower farmers with knowledge of animal disease management through attending conferences as well as participating in stakeholder workshops. We also contribute to Agri-BME through various provinces participating there, and we maintain OPP sustainability as well as maintaining financial viability of OPP. In terms of the market overview, this is a sort of a situational analysis of how the current market is like, and in some cases you would also look at them as challenging. Now, because of the drought conditions that prevail in the major animal producing areas, so that is why currently the numbers of farmers went down in terms of their grazing. And then the poor grazing or availability of grazing is a poor quality, is because of the prevailing drought condition. And due to that, there's also high feed cost, maize price, and also availability. Poor cash flow of farmers, as well as high interest rates, are prevailing in this market. And then in terms of industry analysis, we are members of South African Animal Health Association, which is briefly known as the SAHA. We've got representatives of employees that participate in that organization. And the industry is extremely competitive, and there's negative growth, and there's also poor market performance. It's going to be indicated in the financials by our CFO. Now, in terms of the domestic market, road shows have been conducted in the past financial year, and those road shows were held in different provinces. For example, the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Northern Cape, and the Western Cape, where training took place, product information was disseminated to farmers, and also relevant information on disease control was also done. Advertising and promotion was done through print media as well as radio. Exhibitions were held, NAMPO, Pretoria shows, MPO as well as RPO. MPO being the milk producing organization, as well as RPO being the red meat producer. We also improved in terms of the distribution network, and then farmers' days were targeted for displays as well as the producing training, product training and marketing. Cooperatives and points of sale support were also targeted. Expert panels were held, particularly for African horse sickness. Cattle and sheep veterinarians were targeted and attended the workshops that we held. Domestic market continues. Training is conducted as well as education of farmers on animal health management throughout farmer days that we held. In these radio campaigns that were held, they were for the National Emerging Red Market Producers as well as the National Wool Growing Association. These programs were in Xhosa, Zulu, Tswana, Southern Sotho, and were held for 6 weeks. And then the support of commodity groups, NAFU, and the companies that I've already mentioned. And then in the Female Farmer of the Year competition that was held, OBG was one of the four sponsors. And then support of established BEE distributors is also maintained. There are fridges that have been supplied to rural areas. There are 20 of them that have been placed strategically throughout the provinces. That also assists in improving the visibility of OBG. And then in terms of the domestic market, provincial Department of Agriculture, they are supported through their strategic initiatives, through forming linkages with them. And then support is also maintained in provincial animal diseases and management programs. OPP and provincial farmer days were held. Relations were improved through visibility and participation in stakeholder workshops. And training of state reps in animal health and technicians was also done. And support of South African State Veterinarian Association is also maintained. And then in terms of international markets, a product commercialization was done through dedicated inter-sales management which focused on exports. And then growth of the export market, also through the outbreak that was recent of the Rift Valley fever, and we exported a number of our sales to Kenya, for example, in Tanzania. And the former the customer relations management is maintained, and their strategic partnerships are held through signing collaboration agreements with other countries. And then also our international market focus, we've got strategic partnerships with the countries that are mentioned, Africa, Middle East, South America, EU, and Asia. We attend and display at various conferences held in those countries. And then in terms of strategic focus, it has been to accelerate market penetration, to introduce new products, to appoint new distributors. And regulatory requirements are maintained in different countries as well as embassies in South Africa and abroad. in terms of company performance on research and development, extended into technology licensing and strategic partnerships. We organized the first African Horse Fitness workshop involving all the national key players and international experts. And then intellectual property audit has been conducted and management systems through a firm of action is that assisted OBC in maintaining that. Also, in terms of company of performance under operations and in response to our customer service and to guarantee product availability, we have improved the production planning system, which is aimed at addressing customer needs and guarantee product availability. And OBC has initiated an integrated supply chain management system. And also facilities, the plan that is in place for upgrading of facilities in the form of physical infrastructure audit, as well as upgrading the vaccine and bottling packaging facility. And also, we have embarked on an overall facility upgrade towards GMP compliance, GMP being the good manufacturing practices, as well as the good laboratory practices. And the appointment of consulting engineers was done, infrastructure audit that has been done, financial analysis, scope of work document, next step two is in progress, and the facility upgrade plan is in place. In order to adhere to international standards and best practices, in terms of the experimental animals, we stick to animal ethics. Two audits have been conducted by the SPCA. We received clean audit reports. Experimental work that is done is scrutinized by this committee. This committee is also consisting of members from the SPCA. Now, cooperation with other government departments for animal housing in terms of regulatory requirements is also observed. In terms of quality assurance, supplier quality and PU audits are conducted, facility quality audits are conducted, the first external ISO audit certification was also conducted, the report is tabled in the coming financial year's annual report. And then we have a regulatory office, and there's a review of current registered products, dossiers, and the registration of OBD products locally and internationally is also in progress. It was also done last year. Now, in terms of human resources for the past financial year, we have an employment equity report, labor relations, education and training, development, health and AIDS prevention, and the interaction with local communities. The equity status report for employee distribution is as indicated in the graph. As well as the equity status is indicated in the graph, we've reached our targets and even exceeded our targets in some instances. In terms of employee demographics by occupational level, it's as indicated. And even in this particular case, we've reached the targets and exceeded them in terms of other instances. And in a number, quite a few instances where there is room for improvement. Employee demographics continued here in terms of educational level is as reflected. Even here, the picture is the same. We have met our targets. There is room for improvement in others. Now, in terms of the labor relations, as the chairperson has already indicated, we have a stable environment and successfully negotiated a two-year salary agreement until the 31st of March 2009. Now, in terms of education, training, and development, 2.4% of the payroll is invested in training and development of employees. System bursaries were awarded to employees, there'll be a breakdown in the next slide. And then training was conducted at different NQF levels, including adult education training. Now there's an in-house training that was held on GMP, supply chain management training, 12-year educators were trained, and obtained discretionary grant. We did obtain a discretionary grant from our health center, and there was OBP HIV AIDS strategy that is in place, and work by the group commenced during the last quarter. Now, in terms of training and development of our employees, the actual training that was conducted during that financial year is reflected in the slide. And then in the next slide, that is a breakdown in terms of percentages of training costs per occupational category that was conducted for employees during that financial year. I will now hand over to my colleague for the company testimony. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Madam CEO. Morning, Honorable Chairperson, and the members of the board for your comment. We've just taken quite a few key performance indicators from the financial report. We're starting with sales over the local sales. We've had a good year in the local sales. And one thing to note there is that our performance as far as sales are concerned at OBP are mainly driven by weather conditions. If we have a lot of rain, we're likely to make more money. It's a fact that I just thought I should mention in case we don't do well next year. You can always verify that through the performance of rain and all that. The foreign sales, that might have been explained in the previous period, that during the course of that year, we lost some EU market. And the reason why we have such a bad year in foreign sales is that we had a 12-month impact of that, loss of that market. And then these are the costs. The cost increase, but in the following slide, I sort of break them down. And this is a slide that maybe the members don't have it. I just thought very late in the 11th hour that maybe I should just include the breakdown of the actual drivers of those increases in cost of sales and operating costs. Our first thing there was the depreciation. Initially, the properties were with the Department of Public Works, and they were now moved into our stable, and we also had the International Financial Reporting Framework. We also had to revalue our properties, and as a result, our depreciation had to be, that's just an accounting entry, increased by almost 100% there. And then the decrease in our forex gains was likely due to the loss in market share in foreign in EU market. The R&D expenditure sort of went down a little bit, but it would be interesting to note that in the previous period, that is 2004-2005, our R&D, and even years before that, was around a million. And in 2005-2006, we sort of did a lot of work, and I think now in the 2007, we're sort of stabilizing, coming back. It's still double our normal R&D. It's not necessarily that we just decided to stop doing some research. Water and electricity would have been, can go back? Water and electricity is also partly due to that fact that the buildings would belong to the Department of Public Works, and the 672,000 was that. In that year, we only had the building for about 4 months, and then in the current period, we had them for the full year. That's the reason for that huge jump in those costs. Our staff costs sort of stabilized, even though the numbers sort of reduced. I think they reduced by 11. The previous period, they were about 210, and in the current period, we had about 199. And then the marketing, as was indicated earlier on in the CEO's report, we did a lot of marketing in the current period. Those are the costs there. Next slide. As a result of the above slide, that's the impact that it had on our cash flow. The cash generated from operating activities, we sort of had a loss there of about 5.9 million. It was largely due to the above slide. And then the following line item would be the capital expenditure. That's again a mistake. That figure, that 65 million shouldn't be in the bracket as such. And the reason for that figure is not that we necessarily spend 65 million. I'll probably spend roughly around 7 million again, but the rest was largely due to the revaluation of the building. As I mentioned earlier on, the international reporting framework sort of requires that. It's an accounting standard of some sort, yes. And then our total assets are sitting at 84 million. The last slide would have been mentioned again by the CEO. The one point just to mention there, about 12 million of our spend is being spent on the BEE companies. Thank you, Chair.
Sure that the National Competences in Vaccine Technology as OBP is going to see a good year. Farming community able to respond quickly to disease outbreaks. We will establish economic viability as vital for the vaccine business. We'll develop and retain skills and expertise in vaccinology. We are sure to establish strong research and development capabilities in vaccinology. When we make these statements, we are saying it because we have made sure that the structure is able to perform these duties. We will ensure national competencies in vaccinology, in vaccine technology, because we have increased the level of scientists within the company. And we have made sure that the company has a unique department that will be dealing with that to deliver in South Africa and beyond. Yes. The challenges, we are a growing company. We will be growing the market as well domestically and internationally. The international strategy partners that we have in place are going to see a result very soon, and we are looking for the funding to ensure that we are GMP compliant, which is good manufacturing practice. We'll improve the product line, the new improved products, and new technology. We are able to say to the portfolio committee that OPP has actually been accredited in ISO. We have an intellectual property management system in place, and in support to that, we are MKP, and we are MKP compliant in terms of the MKP Act. The company is in operation for 7 years. There's positive growth. We are financially viable. Our human resources, operational processes, client base, including export, is one to mention as one of the concluding statements to the portfolio committee. National key point has improved our security, and the plan is to go beyond that. We are very grateful to our National Key Point joint agreement together in OBP. We have a significant role to play in NEPA and transboundary, within transboundary diseases. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Team OBP. Members, that's the presentation. I'll open time for questions and comments.
Thank you.
Yeah, in your response to the first question, I must say if Advocate Michelle will be able to tailor. I do take note of the fact that you are not audited by the Auditor General. But as you know, part of the audit mandate as per the TFMA that there's got to be a performance audit. Now, are you, as the audit committee, looking at that part or even when you commission an external auditor to look at the issue of performance audit? Honorable Nell, then will be followed by Honorable Nani. Not Nell, Panikak.
They don't say no audit. But there's a big difference.
Especially when there's a chair behind you.
Yeah. thank you, Chair. Just a number of questions. First, I'll just do them as I wrote them down. In terms of ISO certification, I think in the report it was mentioned that you were striving for it, and now that you have already obtained that. What could you give us a bit more particulars as what is required and what is still needed to keep it in place? Because I think ISO compliance is absolutely important. Then in terms of the declining revenue with foreign sales, what was the basic reason? Why did we, with that big decline, did we lose out? Did the market decline or did we not comply to international standards? Just worrying about that. In terms of research, I see that you've got 2 million spent on research. This is. Do you still need more? What is your involvement with the other research institutes, the University of Victoria and the department on this stage? How do you have a good working relationship, or are you striving to increase your own research and development action? What is the position there? In terms of the processing unit, what upgrading is still required, and are there any timescales for that upgrading? And then a crucial question to be, if we have an avian flu outbreak, or a food and mouth outbreak, or swine fever, or whatever, or Newcastle disease, are you ready to deal with it? because that can happen any moment. To what extent are you ready for such emergencies and disasters? And then just, why did Mr. van Jaarsveld resign? I'd just like to know why. Did he give any reason? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks for the question. Maybe just to start from what my comrade Cryer said.
Brother. Correction, brother.
What my brother Cryer said in terms of the disease, you know. I'm sure it's a question of do you have any mechanism that is in place in terms of the prompt response, and also in terms of I won't say surveillance, because in these days surveillance is always mentioned in everywhere you go, you know.
That, yeah, especially in town.
Yeah, I can tell you that maybe you are also anticipating something that might be come up. The only thing that I'm raising this is, if you look at your slide, your page 8, but I don't know the number of slides there, the OPP is a respected leader in its national development, production, and select, what is it, of animal vaccine and related biological products. Now, I'm raising this issue because I also raised the air the other day in terms of the problem with the lambent skin disease, which really destroyed the animals in Eastern Cape. And I think even the emerging farmers are still scared even today whether towards that period next year they won't have a similar situation of the lambent skin disease, because there was no control of that lambent skin disease at all. Having said that, Chair, I'm interested in terms of your corporate governance report. It starts from page 9. You see, my interest here is interesting to, in the annual report itself, to discover that a meeting of one person is regarded as a meeting. And I need to be told exactly. If you look at page 10, Advocate Michel attended 5 meetings, and 4th of the 1 meeting, and seminar that I said 4 meetings. So there was one person in that meeting, and the regarded as a meeting. And it's an audit committee meeting, linked with the present AG report, that is not audited by, of course, by AG. You must tell me why one person is regarded as a meeting. That is on page 10 of the annual report. And if you look there on page 10 again, you'll find that Dr. Forbes resigned from the board, effective from the 5th September 2006. But if you look at page 9, on the same scheduled meeting of the board, he referred there as resigned on the 5th of September 2007. Which is which? Having said that, back to page 9. If I'm looking at page 9 also, he attended one meeting there. Total Pop there. And if you look at the meetings again, under the board meeting, there are only, I think there were 6 meetings, if I understand, and the 2 board members, they regard that as a board meeting. You've got the chairperson 6 meetings, you've got the advocate mission 6 meetings. Others, 5-5-1 is 1, you know. So which means that 2 persons, they regard that as a board meeting. I just need also explanation there. If I can't read correctly, you just correct me there. And also, if I'm looking on page 11 on the same report, under the Remuneration Committee. Remuneration Committee, Shabalala and Michelle, they were attended 5 meetings, and also the other gentlemen only 3 meetings. Again, those, I suppose, when it comes to the subcommittee, at least can be flexible of 2 persons. They can form a committee. not in a board meeting. But having said that, I'm looking at the chairperson of this board seem to be going to all other subcommittee meetings. And my assumption is that the chairperson of the board is supposed the subcommittee to report to the board rather than the chairperson attending each and every meeting of the subcommittee. I just also need to be clarified in terms of the trend as I see here. Again, if you look at page 12, under the Research and Development Committee, there is a Dr. Dungu there. He was alone, and that's regarded as a committee meeting, as a subcommittee meeting. He was attending that meeting alone, and also is regarded as a reported in the annual report, as a meeting. The other three gentlemen attended or whatever, and ladies, whatever you call it, is attended only two meetings. I also need that explanation there, whether, you see, that was regarded as a meeting. Back to page 11, under the remission committee. I want to know, the CFO is invited in a remission committee, is coming in that meeting, or attend that meeting per invitation, or by invitation. I then want to know, since this committee seems to be a remission committee, and the CFO who is managing it, look at the funds of the institution, he or she only attends by invitation. What informs that particular committee? If the person who is responsible for the funds of this institution, whatever case may be, it's invited, it only comes per invitation or by invitation. Just I want just to check that so that I understand exactly where you are coming from in terms of this particular situation. I said here I'm going to concentrate on this government's report as I see the problems. But having said that, page 24, let me go to page 24, though one of my colleagues is going to contribute to that one. Page 24, there's something that one got to know. I was told something on page 3 that you want to ask on page 4. If you look at page, let me start at page 24 of your annual report. And notes on treasury regulation, D. That clause D, the expense allowances. You'll bear with me, Chair, if I've not thoroughly read the finances of the institution per se. I'm interested in the breakdown of the expense allowances that are paid by the institution to board members and also including those who attend meetings. How much is a person paid per meeting? Detailed per meeting, traveling allowances, cell phones, and everything. If I can be referred to, that's why I want to apologize in advance. If my I've been read thoroughly, that somebody can just also clarify it for me so that I can then gauge your governance report as well as your financial statements in terms of what is indicated as I indicated in my query. So, listen, let me stop there for now, and hoping that I'm going to get the second part. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. In your presentation on page 8, you, under your market objectives, you say you want to empower farmers with knowledge of animal disease management. I just want to know what numbers, how many farmers. And then also, you say that you supply fridges to rural areas. How do you determine where to supply these fridges, and what is the criteria? Is it per province or what? Thank you, Chair.
That takes care of my list. Can we have Honorable Ebra?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think one needs to firstly, thank you for the presentation. One needs to re-emphasize that it is absolutely important as a state entity that we have oversight by the Auditor General's office. I wish to underline what the chairperson had said and take it very seriously. Secondly, Chair, one needs to determine what your status is at ABB with regard to minimum information security standards, whether you are compliant with a MISH document or not. Furthermore, Chair, do you have an asset register? I haven't seen anything in the reports before us. If you have one, we need to have a copy of the asset register at your earliest convenience. Then, Chair, whether you've had any run-ins or problems with regard to theft or the irregular removal of any item, whether intellectual property or physical item or whatever. If so, what are the relevant details? And after having missed something like that, what have you done? Where does the matter stand at the moment? And then, Chair, you are in competition in this particular business with various other suppliers of similar products. I believe it's a very highly competitive field, and I make it my business to be at agricultural shows, and I have not seen very much exposure from OBP. Maybe, but very limited. As against some of the other international groupings that play an extensive part in the provision of veterinary medication. I would like to know, if you were to take a scale, where do you place OBP on that scale as against your competitors? The percentage market share that you may enjoy. I may just add, Chairperson, that in the past, if anything went wrong in the animal industry, poultry industry, they would always say that we've sent samples to Honesterpoort for analyzing and to determine what the cause of this was. Have we still got that kind of capacity? Are we still there? Then, Chair, with regard to the business itself, it is disappointing to hear that you have made a loss. What are your strategies apart from what you've stated here, which is not very helpful, to make a turnaround? May I just add, Chair, that your average farmer today looks for veterinary medication that is simple and easy to administer. And of course, it has to be absolutely effective. Now, part of the problem with some of OBP products, for example, there are some of those inoculations where you have to mix a particular product with another and administer it three or four times every week or every 2 weeks or that sort of thing. That is, to my mind, a cumbersome thing. Against that, there are some of your competitors who are supplying products which are sort of one stop. One needs to come to par. And then, Chair, with regard to international competition, naturally, if you want to grow, and we would like you to grow because we all have a stake in OBP as South Africans, you need to comply to certain, again, minimum standards. And then you have others who have very high standards, especially I wouldn't like to call them advanced countries, but countries that has had far greater exposure than us. How do you intend, or where do you stand, as far as meeting such international standards? You may have ISO registration, but that does not necessarily mean that you can compete on an equal footing, or even with a better product. With other suppliers in the international market. In conclusion, Chair, Okay, I'll leave it at that
for the time being. Is there a second bite I'll take?
No, the second bite is not going to occur. I'll give the team of OBP to respond. We are already 1.5 hours on this report, and we're creeping into the other report of this time already. So, yeah. I'll see how this... I'll see how the response is, you know.
They had brought us some nice export quality fruit. We wouldn't have given them a lot of trouble.
You can be brown.
Can't see you.
Thank you, Chen. I will try to indicate how the questions are going to be dealt with by the team. The first question was with regards to our coming, in fact, there was a comment where we were told that in the coming financial year report, we should report on our targets and achievements. That will definitely be done. The second question was on our intellectual property, and in terms of the resignations, what is the impact of the resignations on our intellectual property? The chairperson will handle that one. And the reasons for resignations of senior officials, and what is being done in order to create stability? The chairperson will handle those. Now, in terms of the performance audit, who does it for us? And are we aware of the auditor general and its relations to our performance? Because of, we are not audited by the auditor general. The audit chairperson committee chairperson will handle that one. And then in terms of our ISO certification, the question was that we've been, there was an indication that assessment has been done, and later on there was a report that we've been certificated, and then that one, the question as to what the actual status quo is and what we need to do to maintain that, really will deal with that one. In the declining foreign sales, that one will also deal with it. Our research involvement, that is involvement of higher education institutions that are local, what they are, the role that we play with in terms of partnerships with them or their involvement in our research, really will deal with that one. And then processing unit upgrades and the requirements and time scales, really will deal with that one. In terms of the outbreak of the avian flu or any other disaster diseases, our readiness for them, really will deal with that. And why did Pierre resign? The chairperson will deal with that one. The mechanisms that are in place regarding prompt response and anticipation and surveillance in terms of outbreaks, really will deal with that one. Lambda skin disease strategy control, really will deal with that one. Empowerment of farmers, really will deal with that one. Treaties that have been placed in various provinces, what is the criteria for placing those treaties there, really will deal with that one. And then oversight by the Auditor General, the chairperson of the Audit Committee will deal with that one. Status with regard to minimum security standards, the chairperson will deal with that one. In terms of thefts and assets that we have lost in the past and what have we done to pick up security. Do we have an asset register? If we do have one, we are requested to supply this committee with a copy. The chairperson of the Audit Committee will ensure that one. Deal with that one. Now, in terms of theft, that is done. Competition with other suppliers, OPP visibility in the market, and that is assessment in terms of the scale, our percentage visibility and performance in the market. That is the international competition as well. Where do we feature? Where do we place ourselves? We will deal with that one. And then in terms of samples that are sent to OPP, our capacity to analyze that sample. Promptly, we will deal with that one. Turnaround strategy, the cutting loss that has been in Kent, it's included in the chair's response. And then combination vaccines, we will deal with that one in terms of our competition with the international markets where they've got combination of vaccines instead of revaccinating over and over again. And then also international standards, where do we stand in terms of that? I hope I've captured all the questions. Thank you, Chair. I will start with the chair.
Question one for me to talk to is the part of REMCOM
the REMCO meeting that I chair, is our act requires us to, the board chairperson must chair the REMCO committee. And the meetings that we have held are meetings that are on our budget in terms of meetings quarterly. The remuneration accordingly for the board members is within the shareholders' compact and agreed to by the joint effort. We don't claim for use of telephones. We don't claim for the travel time. We only agreed to a figure that is an hourly figure. So the claims for traveling is not something that we count into our the claims. The number of the dates, we will apologize before the committee. The 2007 is supposed to be 2006. The resignation of Dr. Forbes, who resigned in 2006, that was a typo error. In terms of resignations, the resignations are not so many within OPP. Structure. There are only two resignations that we know about, which was a resignation by the MD who was moving to greener pastures, and she is with Weather Services. So the voluntary resignation, and it has been reported to Parliament as well. She is a Chief Executive Officer in Weather Services. Her exit interview was a positive one. She was getting a better salary. The other resignation specifically, which was asked by Mr. Clive Van Nieuwkerk, is Pierre Van Nieuwkerk. Interestingly, yes, Pierre has moved on. He is joining a company that is dealing with computers. He's gone to a computer company where he's going to be a shareholder, because that is a greener pasture for him as well. In terms of lost assets, we don't have any lost assets that we have not recovered. We have lost some computers through break-ins, which have been a mishap within OPP for the last 1.5 years. But since we upgraded our security efforts and we actually dismissed the security company which was within OPP and introduced another system together with NKP, we haven't experienced any break-ins since then. So the computers that we have lost, we have recovered through the insurance companies. The asset register, my colleague is going to talk to the asset register. But of greater interest is the fact that there is a good management system that has been introduced recently by the board with regard to all equipment, used equipment, underperforming equipment. We have structured that company, and we are looking at a policy of how we are going to do away with those that are not performing, even the ones that were encased from one province. Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry, there was another question which was saying those people who are resigning, senior people resigning from OPP, how do we protect our intellectual property? We have a system that we have agreed with NIA and SEP, so that when a person resigns in OPP, we submit their names and their details to the JPF, which is our joint planning committee, and we keep track on issues pertaining to our dossier, because that is the part that we are looking very closely to. And the system, our master feed, we are protecting them to the T. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Chair, if I can deal with the audit-related questions. Firstly, the question of performance audit and the Auditor General. We are audited by Conkey Inc., an independent firm of chartered accountants. A couple of years ago, I think they've done the audit now for 2 or 3 years, we were audited by PricewaterhouseCoopers. The choice of auditors was selected by a panel including representatives from the Department of Agriculture. We would have no difficulty if the Auditor General saw fit to audit us. So that is something that can be looked at. Secondly, the question of performance auditing. We are well aware that the new requirements from the Auditor General's office under the PFMA is to focus in on looking at strategic targets and performance auditing, and there is also a closer look expected as to financial performance against budget. So all of those matters are in hand, and we will come back to this committee with good disclosure. We are determined to have and to maintain the highest standards of disclosure in our financial reporting. And on that score, I'd like to emphasize that we now have 2 chartered accountants on site working within OBP, and we intend to maintain that degree of technical skill. And those appointments are representative of our status as a government-owned company. To deal with corporate governance and expense allowances, firstly, my colleague, Mrs. Shabalala, has commented on the expense allowances and cell phones. Those allowances, I want to emphasize, are paid and given to executive management. All board members who are non-executive board members receive no expense allowances, no cell phone usage, and there is no remuneration for traveling time or those costs. They are remunerated for meetings attended and for, in certain cases, for hours spent on extra work, and those details are available. If I could deal particularly with the corporate governance questions, and I think if I may start on page 12 dealing with the Research and Development Committee. The R&D committee had 3 meetings during the year, and that is stated. Dr. Dungu, as our chief scientist, attended all 3 meetings. At those meetings, as it was a board committee, there's a minimum quorum of 2 directors. It has been very, very difficult operating as a committee, as a board, with 3 non-executive directors during the year. How do you get a committee if you've only got 3? And that's been something that we've had to contend with, and we are delighted that the minister has seen fit and been able to remedy that problem. So the R&D committee, there were 3 meetings, and Mr. Siani attended. So there were 3 R&D meetings. On the risk management committee, again, there were 3 meetings. During the year, Mrs. Shabalala attended all 3 of them and chaired them, which was commensurate with the circumstances of the company and the upgrade to NKP that indicates the importance that has been attached to the risk management. And all meetings were correct. If I turn to the audit committee, there were a total of 5 committee meetings during the year. Again, the audit committee cannot have the chairperson of the board attending the audit committee, and at one of them I was assisted by Dr. Ruth Horst, and at the other 4, Mr. Siani came on as an additional member of the audit committee. And those audit committees are also attended by the external auditors, who are a compulsory invitee, although they are not formally members of the committee in the sense of the PFMA. If I may deal with the fixed asset register, as a company, OBP is required to have a fixed asset register. It's a requirement of the Companies Act. It is audited and inspected by the external auditors. In accordance with the Companies Act, that register is available for inspection at the company's registered office. We understand and we note the request from this committee to have sight of that register. We would like to consider the practicalities of that and what is feasible. What we would not like to do, particularly as an NKP, is to put our entire six asset register onto, should we say, freely available public record. That wouldn't not be in the interest of the company, but we understand the request. What we would much prefer, Chair, is if your committee saw fit to visit two ODP premises, and we could actually show you not only the register, but the items therein described and how we operate. Chair, I think that's all for me. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, dear committee members, I'll go for the other questions. First one around the ISO certification. Yes, indeed, Dr. Flinkert, we did get approval and we did get accreditation on ISO in the meantime. Our reporting period for this session was on the previous financial year, and we were still going at the certification then. But in the meantime, early in October, we did receive our certificate, so we are fully ISO 9000 certified at the moment. Yes, we did have an international sales drop or drop in sales last year. It was due to the sales in Europe. Yes, we have indeed several other strategies to write and to recover those sales in other continents. We have collaboration agreements with other laboratories. We doing combined research, and we are very positive that we will recover those sales in the international markets. Research with universities, yes indeed. We do have research collaboration agreements with University of Pretoria, University of Free State, University of Cape Town, as well as our sisters organization on the campus, the Honours to Put Veterinary Institute. The upgrading, yes, we do have a time frame of 5 years. The difficulty of the upgrading will be to carry on producing while we are upgrading the facility, because we do manufacture or produce a sterile product, limited shelf life product, so we cannot stockpile vaccines for 2 years while the upgrading takes place. So we'll do it in phases over a period of about 5 years. On the readiness of OVP on disease outbreaks, yes, we are. We are working very closely with the provincial departments of agriculture as disease control and disease surveillance are their mandates. We do support them in all their structures. So if we are requested to produce vaccines either against African swine fever or avian flu or whatever disease, then OVP will be ready. We do have the seed strains available, but government basically set policy and then we will support them in the execution of their policies. The next question was the lumpy skin disease outbreak, Mr. Clarke. Yes, we do have lots of stock available this year. The Eastern Cape government has already ordered vaccine, so we are ready and we are waiting for the disease, so the vaccine is available.
Are you waiting for the disease?
Remember, I'm a marketer. The next question was about how many farmers did we reach last year. We've reached approximately 12 to 15,000 farmers, all emerging farmers as well as commercial farmers, where we did marketing talks, product knowledge or product information out to the farmers. The criteria on the fridges into the rural area, yes, it is quite a challenge because infrastructure do play a role. In places where we wanted to place some fridges, there were no electricity. You know, these are the industrial heavy-duty kind of fridges, so they do need consistent power. But the need of the community plays a role. The number of animals in those areas, the numbers of farmers in those areas. And then obviously it is a marketing exercise as well. We do look at the market potential where we will be able to get some sort of return on investment. The experience, Mr. Abramsa, yes, We are exposing OVP at all possible venues. Please come to some of the venues and you'll see the exhibitions at almost all the rural trade shows, because we do it also with our partner. Our market share is, we do belong to the South African Animal Health Association, as my chair has indicated earlier. We do carry the majority market share in the vaccines business in South Africa. As this being an open forum, I don't want to disclose our exact market share, but we do have a majority market share in the vaccines industry, the biologicals industry, because we are rather specialized only in vaccines, and there is a need to extend our product range to also include other related products like different wrenches, antibiotics, disinfectants, and whatever. But at this point in time, we are specialized in vaccines only. The question around the sample sent to Honestapoort, I think the honorable member, the situation at Honestapoort, remember there are three different entities sharing the same campus, the University of Pretoria, the Honestapoort Veterinary Institute, which is part of the Agricultural Research Council, and they are actually responsible for all diagnostics. So samples that are sent to Honestapoort won't be sent to OVP, will be sent to the Honestapoort Veterinary Institute for the diagnostic. If something comes from their diagnostics, those seed strains will be passed on to OVP, and we will obviously look whether there is a market potential in those tests. Yes, we do have strategies in place to turn around the deficit in our revenue of this past year. We are going to increase the export. Currently, we are doing extremely well in the export market. We are looking into product commercialization in other continents where we might have market potential. We're also looking at products, our product range, to increase the availability or the basket of products that we produce. The technical products, yes, Mr. Abramson, it is a technical problem because all freeze-dried vaccines, you must add the water to the vaccine to get it liquid again to vaccinate. But we have a very strong R&D drive to develop multivalent products. Some of them are on the brink of launching. So please watch the space, and a number of new products will be introduced to the market in the near future. Then the qualities of our products. We do have our in-house quality standards, which in many cases are much higher than the international quality standards, because we also follow the OIE, or the International Animal Health Organization standards, and in many cases we exceed those standards. And then our own in-house standards are, as I've indicated, superior to many of those international standards. Mr. Chair, I think that was all the questions that I had to respond to.
Thank you, Mr. Chief.
Members, I'll ask the chairperson to give concluding remarks.
Thank you, members of committee. Thank you for the questions that you have asked. We will attend to some of the issues where we are lacking, and thank you very much for listening to us and the encouragement to continue. We promise in March you will be hearing different. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Sir Pavan. We want to hear differently. And in fact, I suppose the next annual report will be also written different, the issues that were raising. We need those kind of links, in terms of performance audit and all of that. And we need to crack this issue about you not being audited by the Auditor General and all that. So, to the CEO, good luck. And I'm quite confident that there will be peace in safe hands. good luck.
Thank you.
We may send some written questions.
Yeah. I remember members that we've got to pay a visit perhaps somewhere in the next year. So we may have to spend some time with them and go through all the issues. Thank you very much. Is that, you see, really, members, I'm not sure whether we wait for Chief first minute or we go one by one and so on and proceed with it.
One by one, Chair.
Okay.
These people didn't bring the food.
Yeah. Team PBECB. Hey, you've got a very convoluted appreciation. I'm sure as we move on, we will get you free. Yeah. It's your time. Can introduce your team. I think we did do our introductions before. If you don't mind, we can start. But you need to set up your presentation. Okay. As they set up, members, just grab your cup of coffee.
Highlighted, I think we've got a solution to that. Nobody will be taken through outside the agro technology, which is purely 100% grain. And then the reason why our the legal person, as you know, we indicated that the position for the company secretary is legal and illegal and the secretary. The resignation of the human resources, because she has got those skills, we requested her to take over while we're looking for a human resource person, of which the interviews have been done. We'll be sure by December we'll be in a position to have a solution to the position of human resources. And the CEO is also being interviewed. They're starting tomorrow with interviews with the CEO. So she'll be relieved from that by January. And then regarding the question by Mr. Van Nickel. Yes, we had a clean audit from SBO at the beginning of the year. So we don't anticipate to have problems in terms of what has been recommended for me. And as a country, we export very low percentages. It's only the ostrich industry who are exporting meat. But the livestock, I don't think we've got any significant figures in that regard. It's only for those who are exporting special cars, of which I think they don't contribute quite a lot in anything. With SPPCB, because of the category of perishable products, we've kept them within the board of PPCB, though they don't have those activities of export, which are necessarily needs the input of PPCB.
Please, any members who need to have more time to have a conversation with the PBECB, and also need to pick up on the invite that has been extended to us and follow up on some of the issues. We are scheduled that we meet between now and 1 o'clock. But I see the environment, some of the things we're not in control of.